Word of Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Today on Word of Life, finding forgiveness. Are you struggling with either giving or getting forgiveness? We're going to help you find that forgiveness and make those connections you're looking for. 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to raise.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, we know yesterday, of course, was Divine Mercy Sunday.
Praise be to God.
And so today we thought we'd spend some time talking about mercy and specifically forgiveness on our show titled Finding Forgiveness. Are you struggling with either giving or getting forgiveness? We want to help you find the healing that comes after the hurt. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And tell us, are you struggling with either giving or getting forgiveness? Has someone hurt you in some way? And you're, you know, having a hard time getting past it. Maybe you're not sure what forgiveness requires of you in a particular situation. Maybe you've told someone you forgive them, but the hurt and the anger and the suspicion still linger? What about someone who's not sorry? Or someone who says they are, but they keep doing the same thing? What then? I mean, Jesus says forgive 70 times 7, but what does that look like in practice? We want to help you work out all the challenges involved in getting and giving forgiveness. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
And of course, Greg, you said in giving or getting forgiveness. Mm-hmm. You know, very often it's we who have messed up and need to be forgiven, and we're not quite sure how to mend those fences. We say we're sorry, but we also know that we're fallen and prone to do stuff over and over again. Or maybe the other person's holding the bar so high and throwing stuff back in your face every time you look sideways at them, and you just don't know how to truly heal the situation. Whether you need to be forgiven and mend fences, or you don't know how to get past the stuff that other people have done to you, and you want to be forgiving, you want to follow what Jesus is asking us to do, but you're just not quite sure how to keep yourself safe and sane and still be a forgiving person. And if that's what you're going through, we are here to help you figure all of that out today at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. You know, I think so many of us are, A, so grateful for the Feast of Divine Mercy that we celebrated yesterday after the Novena of Divine Mercy. But I think that also, I think we really can sit in a time of prayer during that experience, during the liturgical experience of that, during the sacramental experience of that, and just want to dwell in God's mercy and forgiveness and soak it in, and then we have to go back to our everyday life and actually live with people who aren't as perfect as God or as forgiving as God or as loving as God, and we're thinking, how do we do this in the real world? How do we take all of this grace that we experience in celebrating that Feast of Divine Mercy and actually work it out in our lives? And that can be scary and kind of painful.
And, you know, in talking about this idea of mercy, there are several things I want to hit in this show. First of all, since we're talking about Divine Mercy, what is mercy exactly? Second of all, I want to talk a little bit about the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation. And we also want to talk about what a good apology entails. So lots of ground to cover in the show, but we are taking your calls at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. And tell us, you know, are you struggling with this idea of mercy, either getting or giving forgiveness to someone who has hurt you or you've been hurt by? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Going back to that point about mercy, you know, we have this idea, I think, that mercy is all about kind of going easy on someone, letting them off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
And it's more complicated and more beautiful than that. Let me put it that way. Because to be merciful really means to treat someone in a manner that reminds them of their worth in God's eyes. That's what being merciful is. It's not letting somebody off the hook. It's not being easy on people. It's more than that. It's treating someone in a manner that reminds them of their worth in God's eyes. So, for example, you know, let's look at the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, which the church gives us as kind of a working definition of what it means to be merciful. You know, in regarding the corporal works of mercy, we don't give drink to the thirsty or food to the hungry or shelter to the homeless because we're called to be social workers. And I say that as a social worker. We do those things because it's hard to see yourself as a son or daughter of God, much less live like one, if you don't have adequate food or drink or clothing or shelter. Likewise, the spiritual works of mercy include things like forgiving willingly or bearing wrongs patiently, but also admonishing the sinner.
Yeah, that one always throws people.
Well, you know, I hear that list, and I'll go back to the old Sesame Street song, you know, one of these things is not like the other.
You know?
One of these things isn't the same. Can you guess which one is not like the other
by the time
we finish our game? Yeah, I mean...
It doesn't feel like it. You know, all of these things are us giving and giving and giving, and then all of a sudden along comes admonishing the sinner, and we're like, wait a minute, that doesn't seem to fit. That feels kind of uncomfortable. How do I do that one?
Well, the reason I'm mentioning this is because mercy includes all of those things, okay? So again, it doesn't make sense to include admonishing the sinner with bearing wrongs patiently and forgiving willingly if mercy is just about being easy on people. But if mercy is treating someone in a manner that reminds them of their worth in God's eyes, then when they do something wrong but they're trying really hard to be good people, godly people, well, you want to bear those wrongs patiently because we all make mistakes and they already feel badly enough about themselves, we don't need to add on to it,
mm-hmm.
You know. But if somebody forgets, you know, they're not trying hard. They are repetitively acting in a way that is beneath their dignity as a son or daughter of God. Then admonishing them reminds them of their worth in God's eyes. It's not about piling on. It's not about heaping coals on their heads or shaming them. It's about reminding them of what they're worth in God's eyes. And whether we're talking about the spiritual or the corporal works of mercy, it's always about treating someone else in a manner that reminds them of their worth in God's eyes.
Well, there are two very, very wonderful stories that spring to mind whenever I really contemplate mercy. And the first one, of course, is... you know, Jesus talking to Peter after Jesus' resurrection, after Peter has denied him three times, after he swore he would not. And in each one of those times that Jesus goes through this, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. You know, feed my sheep, tend my sheep. And he gives him a chance to work this out with him the three times so that it goes back to each time he denied him. But he doesn't just say, oh, good, I'm glad you love me. Oh, okay, everything's great. He gives him a way to see his own dignity. I am giving you this role in my kingdom, in building my kingdom. Do this. So he's really building Peter up and showing him his worth, even in that moment of forgiveness. But the other one that always has profoundly affected me is whether you've ever had a chance to read the book by Victor Hugo or see the play, Les Miserables is just such a wonderful... example of this. There is a scene in this work where the Catholic bishop catches the main character stealing all the silver after he has invited him into his home and he has fed him and he has given him lodging. And this man who has been in jail for years just for stealing bread to feed his starving nieces and nephews steals the silver from the bishop's mansion, and the police catch him and drag him back to the mansion to, you know, have the bishop bear witness against him so they can throw him into prison for the rest of his life. And the bishop embraces him and calls him brother and says, oh, and you forgot the most valuable things when I gave you all of these things that now belong to you. You forgot the candlesticks.
Yeah.
And he
yeah.
puts them in the bag that the main character has stolen all the silver and stuck it into. And with it, he gives him this mission to change his life and to be as merciful and caring of others as the bishop has been to him, to see himself as Christ sees him. And it's this moment, I remember reading it for the first time in the book and just sobbing, because that is really what we're meant to do. We forgive, but as you say, Greg, we're also building up and showing the other their worth in the eyes of God so that they can be called on to be more and to be better.
And so that's sort of, we'll talk more about what forgiveness entails and what it doesn't and how it's different from reconciliation and lots of different things in the course of the show. But we wanted to start with that because having a proper understanding of mercy is what makes it possible to forgive in a healthy way, in a way that actually leads to healing instead of in a way that makes you think that it's just about saying the magic words so that we can let go of things without actually having to heal the wounds that have been caused by our offenses. We'll talk more about that in a bit. We are also taking your calls at 877-573-7825. We're talking about forgiveness on this show. And if you're struggling with either giving or getting forgiveness, if someone's hurt you and you're having a hard time getting past it, if you're not sure what forgiveness means in a particular situation, let's talk it out together and find some ways forward. The number, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls. In the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence, and we thank you for your abundant mercy and for your constant forgiveness. We let you down in a million ways, and we constantly betray your trust in us, and yet you take us back. But you do so in a way that doesn't just gloss over our offenses or pretend that we haven't done wrong. You show us how to do better, how to learn from our mistakes, how to grow and become stronger, and ultimately to draw closer to you through it all. Help us to follow that same model of forgiveness in our relationships, to not pretend offenses haven't occurred, or to not act like everything is just fine, but to really courageously address the offenses head on in a manner that allows us to find a way forward, in a manner that allows us to heal the wounds, in a manner that allows us to learn from our mistakes and draw closer to each other and to you, so that in everything we do, we can create the communion that your servant St. John Paul reminded us is our privilege and responsibility as your disciples. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
We are taking your calls about finding forgiveness today on More to Life. Whether you're struggling with giving forgiveness or getting it, we want to help you find the healing that comes after the hurt. 877-573. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
They need those last four numbers.
I forgot about that. Yeah,
they do. Let's do it one more time.
877-573-7825. What do you want from me, people? It's a Monday. Please forgive me.
That's right. You just set yourself up.
Have mercy on me.
All right. 877-573-7825. Let's talk now with Faustina, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Maryland. Oh, dear. She just dropped her call. Oh,
I'm sorry.
So sorry.
Well, if you have the opportunity to call
please
us
please call
back.
We were just about to take you, Faustina. You know, give us a quick call back.
But every day on More to Life, we look at the topic of the day through the lens of St. John Paul's theology of the body.
We do. And, you know, as we do this today, we realize that St. Francis has encouraged families to be more intentional. Neither of us can talk
today. Yeah, we're doing great today.
Intentional about saying little things like thank you, and I love you, and I'm sorry. The theology of the body reminds us of the importance of mercy, because despite the incredible expectations that God has for us and our relationships, we have to recognize that we can't achieve perfection on our own. We can only achieve God's vision for our life and relationships if we lean on His mercy and allow Him to work with us and in us and through us.
You know, when we fall short, as we are wont to do pretty much every day,
we've done five times since we started talking this morning.
At least, right? Well, in those times, we need to ask God's forgiveness. And saying sorry to God, especially in confession, doesn't mean saying magic words to get out of hell free, right? It means saying, I know I fell short, and I want to be more through your grace, so please help me. Likewise, when we apologize to others, we need to adopt a similar attitude. We need to acknowledge that the person had a right to expect more from us. We need to want to make the situation right, and we need to work with that other person to make a real plan to prevent that offense from occurring again. And anything less isn't an apology. It's just an attempt to avoid responsibility for our actions by saying the right formula. So forgiveness is really all about knowing how to empathize with the person that we've hurt, to let them know that they had the right to expect more from us, and to work with that person to make a plan to heal the wounds. But let's talk about it. 877-573-7825. If you're struggling with getting or giving forgiveness, we want to hear from you.
Let's talk now with Martha, who's calling from Massachusetts.
Hey, Martha, welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Oh, good morning.
Good morning.
I didn't know I'd be able to speak to you last week, so...
We're happy to hear from you. We've only got a couple minutes before the break, so let's get to your question. What can we do for you today?
Oh, I just wanted to tell you what happened to me. I had my father make fun of and minimize and castigate and everything my husband. And he would do it publicly.
Oh, dear.
And I had to go to a priest to get how I could speak to him and tell him to stop it, either stop this or I would never speak to him again, because I had married this wonderful person and he had no right to do this. So the priest explained to me how I could go about it. So I went to my parents' home. My mother opened the door and I said, I need to speak to Pop. And she nodded. She knew exactly what I was going to have to say. Mm. So I explained to my father, I had married somebody. He had no right to make castigating, horrible remarks about my husband. And he would either stop that or I would not have anything to do with him again, because I was married to this wonderful
person. And how did it turn out, Martha?
He sat there. He was astounded. He was in tears. He was trying to make excuses for himself, and I said, no, this is the way it is. You either will accept what I have, or else we will no longer have anything to do with
it. And did he accept it? Did it change the relationship?
He did. He did. He kept his... He had a way with words all the time. Everybody used to...
Well, Martha, it's a great call to start the show with, because what it talks about is how, you know, forgiveness doesn't just mean saying, well, he still loves us in his own way. Well, no, it means working for the other person's good. And you did that. You know, forgiving your father in your case meant first confronting him with what he was doing, so that real forgiveness could happen. And he was able to then acknowledge his offenses, and you guys were able to build from there. And I think that that's a really good model, because forgiveness does not mean covering over offenses or pretending that things didn't happen. That's what the theologian, I think it's Dietrich Bonhoeffer, said was cheap grace. And we don't want to give cheap grace. It's all about real healing. And so forgiveness means going to the person that offended you and starting there. Now, you know, if they're not sorry, you can still forgive them, but that doesn't mean, but then you can't be reconciled to them, because reconciliation builds off of forgiveness and allows us to work together with the person to heal the wound. But if they don't want to do it, well, we can forgive them, but maybe not be reconciled to them. We'll talk more about that. Fortunately, your intervention enabled there to be both forgiveness and reconciliation between you and your dad, and I'm glad you had the courage to take those steps, Martha. Thanks for kicking us off today with a great call, an example of
wonderful example of
what forgiveness really entails, about both that admonishing the sinner and then forgiving willingly.
And for having the virtue of courage to go out there and actually do that.
877-573-7825. We're taking your calls about finding forgiveness, and whether you're struggling with giving or getting forgiveness, we want to help you find the healing that comes after the hurt. Right, when we come back, we'll be taking more of your calls, plus we'll be joined by John and Claire Grabowski, who'll be sharing some insights on forgiveness in marriage. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues.
This program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare option you've been searching for. From concierge service to ethical consultations to partnerships with one of the nation's largest healthcare sharing ministries, CMF Curo offers a pro-life, Catholic approach to your overall health and well-being. Find out today if CMF Curo is right for you. Call 833-GET-CURO. That's 833-GETCURO. Or visit mycatholichealthcare.com.
There's a lot of uncertainty in the world right now. Companies have temporarily stopped hiring. Sporting events are held without fans. Even your friends are being told to keep their social distance from you. However, at Ave Maria University, we ask you to consider advancing while the world around you recedes. Gaining an online master's degree in business administration or theology can propel you forward, distinguishing you from the competition when companies again start hiring. Apply now at avemaria.edu.
This program brought to you in part by the nonprofit Angelicum Academy.
This is Father Joseph Essio. I have an important message for all you homeschooling families. You can get an outstanding and fully accredited Catholic college education and save $100,000. To learn how, go to angelicum.net. That's angelicum.net. Earn 75 college credits and an associate's degree in high school for just $3,500 a year. And earn your BA degree just 1 year later at age 19. Check this out at angelicum.net.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Joining us right now, Dr. John and Claire Grabowski. Dr. John Grabowski is a moral theologian at Catholic University. Together, they have served on the Pontifical Council for the Family, and they are the authors of Raising Catholic Kids for Their Vocations, published by TAN. John and Claire, welcome to More to Life.
Good morning. Great to be here with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Happy Easter and happy Divine Mercy Week. We want to start with you, John, but we're talking about forgiveness today on the show, and you guys wanted to share some insights about forgiveness in marriage and family life.
Sure. We are actually driving home from the baptism of one of our grandchildren.
Mm. Congratulations.
Thank you. Baptism is a wonderful sacrament of forgiveness, right? It's the forgiveness par excellence because God wipes away both original and actual sin in it, but as Moses told us yesterday for Divine Mercy Sunday, once we've received that forgiveness, our task is then to share it with others in and outside of our families.
It's so true, and, you know, Claire, mom to mom here, that's a rough thing that we parents have to teach. Moms are often on the front line minute by minute doing it. What can we do, you know, to learn how to do this in our family life, to be forgiving and
get teach that forgiveness.
You know, teach forgiveness to our kids?
Oh, my goodness, Lisa, I agree with you. This is something that I'm praying for our son and daughter-in-law, because it's a hard thing. But we tried when our kids were small to make it a daily practice. We tried to, first of all, for John and I to not be afraid to ask forgiveness of each other in front of the children so they knew that we weren't perfect. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways we did this was a daily examination of conscience where at nighttime, you know, we would take the time to do repentance, to say we're sorry to each other and to ask God to forgive us and to change us. And, you know, it's a hard thing to do, but it's so necessary in family life because, you know, relationships, we're always hurting each other and we're always doing something that is not in God's plan. So,
well, but the good news is we're not left to our own devices, right, John?
Absolutely. I mean, when we're struggling, God gives us the sacraments, like Sacrament of Reconciliation, which the fathers of the church said is a second baptism. And God gives us the Eucharist, where he gives us the strength to really lean into the grace that's poured out in us in this Easter season. So we're not on our own.
Well, praise God for that, and thank you guys for sharing your insights with us. I hope you drive safe, and congratulations again on the baptism of your grandchild. We wish you and your whole family many, many blessings.
Catholic in the world.
Take care, guys. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And we are taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. We're talking about finding forgiveness. You know, John and Claire were just talking about taking that time in family life every day to reflect a little bit on what, how did we maybe let each other down? And actually, this is something we talk about in Parenting with Grace and in a lot of our writings in our kind of format for doing prayer time, where we'll have families use the acronym PRAISE. P stands for praise and thanksgiving. R is for repentance, where you take just a minute, not to do full-scale confession,
right,
but where you just say, you know, Lord, I'm sorry for that time that I snapped at, you know, my kid, and please help me to do better. Or one of the kids say, you know, I'm sorry for the time that I wasn't sharing as generously as I could. Please help me to do better. Having that little time every day in your family life where you just pause and reflect on how are you taking care of each other and what are those little repairs you need to make, especially in your prayer time, can make all the difference in the world. When we come back, we're going to continue talking with you about finding and giving forgiveness and the challenges involved in both. Stick around. We'll take your calls at 877-573-7825 when More to Life continues right after this.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you by the following nonprofit underwriter.
With 1 in 9 Americans struggling with hunger, Catholic Charities distributed over 70 million meals across the United States last year, along with life-changing services that empower people to move beyond poverty. Consider a donor-advised fund with Catholic Charities. Streamline your charitable giving while supporting the causes you care about. To learn more, go to ccusa.gives. That's ccusa.gives.
There's going to be conflict. I want to make that clear. My concern is unity, but I don't think you can get to unity before you get to the conflict. And you have to remember, the church is not supposed to be submissive to the state. It's not supposed to be the ruler over the state, but it's supposed to be the conscience of the state. And if you ever wrestled with your conscience, you know conscience creates conflict. So we expect conflict between the church and the surrounding culture, especially with the political order. We expect conflict among fellow Christians because we will assess the various importance of issues differently. But here's what's supposed to work. Our union in Christ is supposed to keep us bonded together so that these fights can be handled and they can be fruitful. Not the kind of conflict that drives separation. They can be fruitful conflict.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta. 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Greg Popchak. One question I often hear is, how can I help my child deal with stress? A recent study revealed that only 22% of kids talk to their parents about their stress, but 75% would like to be able to rely on their parents to help them cope more. We parents too readily accept answers like, it's fine, and I don't know, from our kids. We don't expect them to learn to express themselves, so we don't take the time to teach them and help them work through their stress. Kids are able to articulate their feelings and develop problem-solving skills, but they need to be coached to do it. Take the time to tease answers out of your children. And most of all, teach them the benefit of open communication by exhibiting it yourself. To learn more effective strategies for helping your kids cope with the stressors in their lives, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. Today's show is titled Finding Forgiveness, as we talk about the challenges in both getting and giving forgiveness. If you're struggling with someone who's hurt you and you're having a hard time getting past it, or if you've hurt someone and you're not sure what it takes to heal that wound, we are here for you either way as we talk about finding forgiveness on this Divine Mercy Monday, 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with our next listener who's listening to EWTN Radio in Indiana.
Hi there, caller. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
Hi, good morning. I listen to your show every day, pretty much.
Well, and thank you.
I appreciate everything that you share with all of us in teaching the things we need to hear. And I've never heard anyone ask my specific question, and your topic really just kind of rang up with me today when you, you said admonishing the sinner. And that's a really difficult thing for me. A little bit of background. Well, I'll just put my question out there, and then I'll give you a little background. If that's okay.
Yep, perfect.
My question would be, how do you know when you're on the right track with mercy, with everything you're talking about today?
That's okay. A great question. Go ahead and give us the background on this.
My husband and I have been together for over 10 years, and a couple of years ago, things started clicking for me. I knew something was wrong, but I started researching, and things started clicking. And I learned that I have a dependent personality type. Basically, when all of these things that I started researching came up, I went to get some Christian counseling because I knew I needed help in my marriage, because there was a dynamic that was not good going on. I went, this was a couple of years ago, to counseling by myself for several months. And I invited my husband to come, and he refused at first. Eventually, he saw that I wasn't stopping on my journey and agreed to go. And has been going for pretty much every since then, every other week we go.
What's he doing though? Like, I feel like you're sort of dancing around the offense. Like, it sounds like you're saying you're having a hard time holding him accountable for something. But what is it that you need to hold him accountable for?
Well, he has a temper, and he likes to yell. Mm-hmm. Basically, what I'm questioning right now is, we are reading, or read, I really should say, your book, Better
For Better Forever.
Okay.
Over Lent. And he makes these, he agrees to do these efforts with me, but then, and we'll do some of the behaviors with, you know, the suggestions, and then fall back into old patterns. I don't feel respected in our marriage, and I don't feel cherished in our marriage. When we talk, it's like it's paining him to even listen. I don't feel like he's working for my good. I try to work for his good, and I have really learned this past year how to remain calm when these situations erupt.
Good, good,
and
okay.
That makes him angry. I've come to learn. I don't know why.
Well, because it points out how lack of control that he's got. you know, if he can only justify his behavior if you go crazy, right? Because then he can act like a jerk and say it's your fault. But if you remain calm, and if you remain calm, he has to confront the fact that he's acting like a jerk, and he doesn't have any excuse for it, and that makes him even angrier because he has to look at himself. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, it does make sense. From what happened this weekend, it kind of fits into that too, which leads into my question: how do I know? I've heard you tell people before, mm-hmm. in a similar situation to mine, that there are times when you just have to do the hard thing, which for me would be to leave. Mm.
Well, so let me ask you. I mean, you say he's going to counseling with you. Is he doing any of the things that the counselor, or is the counselor suggesting things that should be done, and then is he doing them, or is it just a matter of he's showing up and hoping that's going to be enough?
I think it could be just showing up, mm-hmm. to keep me from leaving.
Okay.
One of our big contentious things is, or in the book it said a subject that comes up often that's a contentious subject, and that is he is not an affirming kind of person. He never mm-hmm. compliments me. He's always quick to point out negatives, but is not affirming in our relationship. And the counselor has told him several times, look, she brings this up almost every other time we come in here. You know, mm-hmm. what does it cost you to say something nice to her? And that is a topic that comes up frequently. It's not really ever been addressed, and it's something he really pretty much refuses to do.
Well, when the counselor says, what is this costing you to try to affirm your wife, what is his response? You're saying it's never been addressed, so he just sits there in silence, or is there a response?
He shrugs, and the one time he said, well, I wasn't taught that. That's not how my family was. It's just unnatural to me.
And beyond that, has the counselor given you any exercises to do at home whenever you leave session to sort of, for example, one exercise that we might give you guys would be every day, you know, you're going to take 10 minutes and talk about the things that you tried to do to take care of each other that day. And, you know, you'll talk about what you appreciate, what you might like from each other the next day, but it's all, you know, maybe 10 minutes, but you're just going to make a point and make an appointment with each other wherever, you know, in the day to sit down and do that exercise. So would the counselor give you things to do like that in between sessions, or is this just kind of discussed in session and then it doesn't come up again until the next time you go?
He's not given us that type of, suggestion. He more tries to get to the root of, you know, why somebody's not doing something.
And I'll be honest with you. I mean, not to get in the way of your relationship with your therapist, but who cares why? I mean, it doesn't matter.
It just gets you stuck there. So, for example, you know, your husband's saying, "Well, I just wasn't raised that way." Well tough. You weren't raised a lot of ways. You weren't probably raised to like pay bills because most parents. But you had to figure it out. You know, we need to learn new skills.
Yeah. So look, I mean, if your car breaks down, okay, and you take it to the auto mechanic, and you know. You know, you go back a week later, and he's like, "How's the car?" And he's like, "Well, I'm still trying to figure out how it got broken in the first place. I mean, I see what's wrong, and I know how to fix it, but I just don't know why it got broken in the first place." You'd be like, "Well, what does it matter? Fix the car."
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You know, and I don't mean to be flip about this. I mean, it's helpful to understand where things came from, somewhat. But you know, only to the degree that we can say, "Okay, well, you know, you learned certain things, and you came by these bad habits in an honest way, but." Now let's talk about how we need to unlearn those habits and give you some skills to work to make some real changes here. And that's sort of the difference between a marriage-friendly therapist and just a therapist who, you know, kind of does couples counseling, who sees couples. It's all about the skills that you need to practice between sessions. So I think there are two things going on here. One, you know, your husband kind of likes the way the marriage is, so he's reluctant to change it. He's getting what he wants out of it, right? So that's why he didn't want to go to marriage counseling in the first place, and that's kind of why he's dragging his feet now. He likes the way things are. He's got his little comfort zone, and as long as he can stay in that, he's going to prefer that comfort zone to you or anything you ask him for. But having said that, he loves you enough that he's been going to therapy, And once you get them to therapy, then it's the therapist's job to challenge you guys in a way that's actually effective. And now, I don't know if your husband would actually do the things, right? But he needs to be given a chance. And so right. you need to challenge your therapist to give you stuff to do between sessions, or you need to find another therapist. Because, you know, therapy isn't just the hour a week that you're in counseling. It's the whole time between sessions, too.
Just like if you go to a doctor and the doctor says, well, you need to go to physical therapy and you need to take this particular prescription and you need to do it, you know, three times a day. That's the real healing, not just seeing the doctor and getting the advice.
So I'm going to encourage you. You said you read For Better Forever. I'd like you to actually pick up How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, where we talk about 8 habits that healthy couples practice and how to begin practicing them for yourselves. Chapter 3 has a quiz in there that helps you identify your strengths and those areas for growth. And then you can kind of develop your own plan for working on the relationship by working through the exercises in the relevant chapters. I would go through that with your therapist and really challenge him to give you things to do in between. Because, you know, your therapist just saying, hey, you know, you really need to be nicer to each other. You know, why don't you just affirm her already? I mean, that's good. He's challenging your husband on that. But then your husband doesn't have the first idea how to do it.
Literally doesn't know how. That would be like if somebody handed you a book in, say, ancient Sanskrit and said, have this read by our next session. Well, they never taught you how to read ancient Sanskrit,
well, you know,
so you can't.
There's a great sketch. I don't know if you remember the old Bob Newhart shows going back a ways, right? But the comedian Bob Newhart played a psychologist.
See it on YouTube.
He did a sketch where he was doing stop it therapy. So somebody came in and said, I just get so anxious. And he said, okay, stop it. And that's kind of what your therapist is doing.
Right.
You know, he's saying, you know, hey, you know, you stop not affirming your wife. Well, give me some exercises to learn how to do that. I wasn't raised that way. I don't know how to even start. So, you know, your husband's there. Now you need to, you know, we need to hook him up with some resources. So if the start with How to Heal Your Marriage, talk it over with your counselor. If that's not working, find another good marriage-friendly therapist in your area or work with us, the Catholic counselors. We got tons of things we can give you. I don't know if he'll respond to them, but he needs to be given the chance at least.
One thing I'm going to give you to try to do starting today, okay? And I really want you to do this. I want you to give each of you a piece of paper, a little notebook if you have one, but don't wait to do this till you can find a little notebook. And just say to your husband, one of the exercises we're going to do, because I know this is hard for you, is we're going to keep a piece of paper and a pen around us, or if you have your smartphones and it's easy for you, you can do that, but it's easier to write it down longhand, so you have to really think about it. And throughout the day, we're each going to look for 5 things today that we appreciate about each other. We're going to list them, and then over dinner or before you go to bed, you're going to read them to each other. And you're just going to hold each other accountable for finding those 5 things. Mm-hmm. And it can be anything. It can be tiny. You smiled at me today. You got me a cup of coffee. You looked really nice today. Just find those 5 things.
I agree 100% with what Lisa's suggesting. But since you guys really struggle with this, even start with 1 or 2.
Yeah, that's true.
All right? Just start small. And success builds on success. So if you guys want to just start with 1, and then after that, whenever he says that one thing, give him a hug and say, thank you. That really means the world to me. And then move on. And it's done.
Yeah,
right?
Don't let it talk about, well, why haven't you been able to do this before? Or see, isn't this easy? Or just say, thank you. It meant the world to me. And move on. And do that every day till it starts to become second nature. Then maybe you can add 2 a day.
Yeah. So like do 1 a day for a week. And then the next week do 2 a day for a week. And then the next week do 3 a day for a week. And build from there.
And honestly, if he says, well, I forgot, then say, well, I understand that you forgot. I'm going to go to the restroom. I'm going to give you 5 minutes. You think about the day. Come up with 1 thing. And I'll make sure I come up with 1 thing. I'll see you back here in 5 minutes.
And then if he does it, and even if he does it kind of woodenly or it's awkward for him, that's fine. Thank him for it. Give him a big hug. Let him know that you appreciate the effort and move on. But the point is, you know, the guy's showing up at least. All right. Let's give him a chance to actually learn the skills by giving him some things to practice. Start with this. Pick up How to Heal Your Marriage. Go over it with your current therapist. If you find that therapist is incapable of giving you exercises to do between sessions, find somebody else to work with either in your area or contact us at Catholic Counselors.
But I will say this. Do not discontinue with the therapist you have till you have a solid appointment with the next
person.
Don't say, oh, well, this therapist can't do this, so we'll just wait and find somebody eventually. That's going to leave you falling into the Grand Canyon of chasm of nothingness, and it's going to get worse.
You know how show hole is so depressing whenever you like finish a show and you can't figure out what else to do? Well, therapy hole is even worse.
Way worse.
So don't give up unless you have somebody else.
Like you have to shift, make sure you have maybe had one session with the next person before you move on from this person. But try that technique, that little skill that we talked about at the end here, and give this a shot working through that book together.
Thank you, caller, for the question. And if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Again, that book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, it's available at CatholicCounselors.com and wherever good books are sold. You can also learn more about the rest of our services and ways we can support you there at CatholicCounselors.com. We have to go to break, but when we come back, we are taking more of your calls about finding and giving forgiveness at 877-573-7825. As we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32.
And boy, this is so obvious, but it's so hard, and it's so needed, especially right now. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you.
Powerful words from St. Paul are an important reminder of the role of forgiveness in the Christian walk. But, you know, that said, it's challenging to both give forgiveness and get it in ways that are actually healing. So let's talk about what it takes in your case. If you're struggling to heal a wound that someone has created in you, in your heart, if you are struggling to heal a wound that you have inflicted on somebody else, and you are genuinely sorry, but you don't know how to rebuild the relationship, we are here for you. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to life. We'll be back with your questions about forgiveness when we return after these messages.
Location, location, location. These are the three most important factors in real estate. The same might be said for colleges. Trudging through snow to get to an 8 a.m. statistics class is a much different experience than breezing by a palm tree to the raucous applause of a laughing gull. With the average temperature of 84 degrees and wetland nature as your backdrop, it's no wonder students tend to stay once they visit our campus. Ave Maria University, your future location, location, location. Visit avemaria.edu.
Brought to you by the nonprofit Seton Home Study.
Hi, everybody. Dr. Ray Guerrendi here. My wife and I have used Seton Home curriculum for our homeschooling. One of the great things about it, you learn about your faith, not just in religion, but history and English and science and reading. Their curriculum uses saints as role models. I don't think they've used me yet. Children are prepared to rationally explain and defend their faith. It permeates the instruction. You want to give your kids not only a top-notch education, but an understanding of their faith as it permeates the subjects that matter in their lives. I don't know if there's too much better than Seton homeschooling. We used it a lot. You are the best teacher for all of that. Let Seton get right beside you and give you the material you need. Go to setonhome.org. setonhome.org.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Thank you for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today we're talking about finding and giving forgiveness. On this Divine Mercy Monday, we are exploring the challenges involved in forgiveness and reconciliation, what it involves, what it doesn't, what does it really mean to be merciful? 877-573-7825. Call us with your questions about either giving forgiveness or getting it from someone you care about. With that, let's go to the phones. Lisa, who's up?
Let's talk now with Denise, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Georgia.
Denise, listening on the quest. Welcome to More to Life. What's up?
My sister, my dad had asked my siblings and I, he said he wanted to do a DNR, and so he said he wanted to make sure before he signed it that everybody agrees and everybody...
And for listeners who don't know what that is, that's a do not resuscitate. So when a person is at the end of life and there is no way to make sure that they would recover from their illness whenever they're sort of in a terminal situation, a DNR is if they pass, that they should not be resuscitated. But please go on, Denise.
Right. So he was in the hospital, and he had to have a second surgery, and I pretty much knew that that would take him out, but I didn't want to say to him, well, you know, this is going to kill you, don't you, because he really didn't have any other choice, and so I didn't say it in case it would discourage him. But anyway, so I come back to the hospital, and my sister is having him resuscitated. And it's kind of dramatic because I kept seeing him flop on the bed. They were pushing on him, and his lifeless body was flopping. And I backed out of the room, and I thought, well, she's stressed. It's her father, too. Let her do her thing. But I really wasn't happy with it. So when we came home, we had had a disagreement recently, and I had misunderstood her, and so it had gone on for a long time. And she said, don't let this happen again. You can see how it stressed our relationship. So I thought, this is really a bad time, but it's probably going to be always a bad time when there's a misunderstanding that's big. So I said, you know, you agreed not to do the DNR, and then to do the DNR, and then you resuscitate him. Well, she bawled me out, her husband bawled me out, her son bawled me out for 45 minutes saying that that wasn't a resuscitation. Of course, then I got the bill later. It was obviously a resuscitation. But it was so weird because she said she didn't do it, but it was so obvious.
What I don't understand is if there's a DNR, the hospital can't resuscitate
no matter what anybody says.
So I don't know if your dad actually didn't sign it. Because it would be illegal for them to, I mean, she could scream and holler all she wants, but unless she gets that order rescinded in a court, there's no way for the hospital to revoke your father's wishes. So I don't understand how that even happened. Do you have any sense of that?
Well, when I came in the room, I turned to the staff there and I said, but he has a DNR. And they looked horrified. And they kind of said, well, she's family, and we thought that family would know, and so therefore we took her advice.
Ah, so they didn't have it. They didn't check the record, and they just went with your sister kind of hollering at them. Okay. Mm-hmm. So the question is now, how do you heal this, and where do things stand with your sister?
Well, after she bawled me out for 45 minutes, I just said, well, you know, it's a death. Everybody handles death in their own weird way. Mm. And so I guess she just, you know, is in denial about that, even though I got the bill. And the thing of it is, so I just went on with her, and I thought to myself, well, I guess I can't ever bring up a bad interaction again because it didn't get any, you know, she said that this would keep it from happening, but obviously that didn't work. So I just went on with her like nothing has happened, and we're just back to where we were before. Although on my side of it, I don't feel like I can share deeply. I don't want to get into anything deep with her. I just feel like, is this going to come back and bite me in the behind because I'm kind of like smoothing it over? Am I over this? I don't feel like I'm over it because I'm so traumatized by the look.
Of course.
Sure.
Of what I saw.
All right, well, let me throw in a couple of things here because we've got about a minute before they start playing us out. So you put this in the larger context of saying that there was a disagreement with your sister about something else before this and that she challenged you to be upfront with her if there was a problem. And so that's why you went ahead and did this. So you got to pray about – you have two options in front of you, right? And obviously, this is a very, as you say, you know, I think you're handling this remarkably well. You're being very understanding and very charitable about your sister's actions, and the fact that this is around, you know, the drama around your father's death. That said, you have two choices. You can either go to her, maybe send her an email or write her a letter, or just go to her directly and say, "Listen, I really don't mean to cause trouble by bringing this back up, and I'm okay with what you did. I'm not trying to bring that up, but I am confused." because you told me that I shouldn't let things fester and that I should come to you and talk to you directly if I ever had a concern again. And I did that and you ripped my head off. And so now I don't know how open I can be with you. I would really like to have the kind of relationship where we could be honest with each other. And I understand that there was a lot of pain and a lot of drama around Dad's passing, and I want to give you the grace on that. But you said that I should come to you. Do you really mean that? Or if I come to you again, are you going to tear my head off again? Because if that's the case, I'm just going to have to keep a lot of things to myself. And give her the choice. So that's your first option. The second option is to assume that that is the case and then just kind of have a more superficial relationship with her. I would like you to give her the chance to do that, but I want you to pray about it because you know your sister better than I do, and we don't have a lot of time to get into the history here. So I really want you to pray about those two options. I would suggest that the first one is probably your better option of the two, but they're both legitimate based on what you think would happen if you did confront your sister about this. And I hope that that will give you a way forward. And Denise, if there's more we can do for you when we have a little more time, don't hesitate to call in. Check out the resources we have at CatholicCounselors.com.
Listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.